Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And our show brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins at ubeauty.com. Thanks for listening today. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. It's What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg, our weekly toxicologist, to check in here before Dr. Arthur Perry at 35 minutes after the hour. Okay, typically four stories. Dr. Mike, what do you like this week?
I like the one on the gull first.
Okay, the Arctic glaucous gull. I saw one on the golf course today, and I said to myself, I haven't seen too many of these Arctic glaucous gulls around much anymore. They must be in decline. Let's find out for sure from Dr. Ginsberg. Are we seeing less of them, sir?
Yes, the statistics by the Canadian researchers, biologists, are saying that since the 1980s, their population has been in decline by 50%.
Oh.
And perhaps some of the reason is climate change and warming changes their environment. But what they're also measuring in these gulls, which is taking some toll, is all the soup of persistent bioaccumulative and toxic chemicals that end up globetrotting. We use them here in our latitudes, and they end up finding their way up to the Arctic Circle. And the reason that they like the northern climates, these chemicals, is because in the warm months, they evaporate from our climate. They travel up into the atmosphere. Some of them travel north, and they condense out, just like steam would condense out into rain. They condense out in the northern climates, and they stay there and accumulate up north. And so animals that are top-of-the-chain predators that are eating smaller things like fish, they will accumulate them into our body. So what we release here tends to go north towards the Arctic. And so these gulls are showing us, they're actually sentinels of the persistent chemicals that we use in our products, because what had been like the old DDTs and the persistent pesticides, they're not in the gull so much anymore, although they still have traces. Then they got a big uptick, a big surge in the flame retardants, the polybrominated diphenyl ethers, which are not good for their reproduction and their shells and whatnot. Now those levels have stabilized, and what they're seeing a surge of in these gulls are like the tris, the chlorinated tris flame retardant chemicals, which is the new wave of flame retardants in our own products. So the gulls are showing us what we're using. It's ending up in their bodies, and they're in decline. And we don't think it's a coincidence that as the levels go up in them, their numbers go down.
Is there any hope for them then?
Well, you know what the biggest hope is that the governor of California, Jerry Brown, will actually, and he wants to, I know it's high on his list, sign the new flame retardant bill, which says that you don't have to pass this very stringent flame retardant rule anymore with manufacturers of cushions and beds and things, and that they can use a much less stringent but still safe to cigarettes flame retardant bill, which won't require all these heavy molecules, these chlorinated molecules, into our sofas and cushions. So California has been the leader in the country in a lot of environmental areas, but they have driven the country into the direction of using toxic flame retardants, where all the manufacturers, to meet California standards, sell it in Connecticut and New York and in Ohio, sell all these flame retardant laden products. But if Jerry Brown signs it, I think that we'll start seeing a phase out of these chemicals, and the gull populations will hopefully respond.
Gary, why do gymnasts face toxic risks?
Well, you know, it's similar to the last story. Instead of the gulls, now we're talking about gymnasts. This study makes a lot of sense, these data, but it's still kind of shocking. Researchers from Boston University looked at 11 collegiate-level gymnasts. So these are people, college students, who are in the gym 20 hours a week, and they found levels of polybrominated diphenyl ethers, again, the flame retardants, 5 to 6 times higher than in the rest of the population. And think about the foam pit. So when a gymnast drops down off the bar and relaxes into the foam pit, that is all uncovered cushioning that is laden with these flame retardants. And they all pulverize into a dust. And normally, we're concerned about the household environment where your sofa or your bed is covered and the foam isn't exposed. And we always say to people, if you have a ripped couch cushion, seal that up so that the flame retardant doesn't get all over your living room. Well, here, it's by design uncovered, and maybe they should really think about covering those foam blocks because the levels were high. There's a lot of dust when these guys jump into the pit. And one other activity that they do every so often, they fluff the pit so that they're making it more airy and bouncy, and they shift all the foam around, and that creates even more dust inhalation. So the flame retardants in college athletes at the gym is another sign that we're doing the wrong thing with these toxic, reproductive, endocrine-disruptive flame retardants.
Well, let's go to story number...
Let me just say that if you are a parent of a small child going to the gym, you want to make sure that they wash their hands, take a shower after coming out of that foam environment. That's really important.
Okay. Let's get this third one in on green tobacco poisoning. What can you tell us about that story you submitted this week?
Yeah, well, you know, we usually think about tobacco and cigarette exposure as being a problem if you smoke it and burn it and inhale it. And certainly a lot of teens are doing that these days, which is a big concern for me. This is about teenagers working in the tobacco fields in places like North Carolina, in which their direct exposure contact as pickers to the tobacco crop causes not only irritation, but nicotine can go right across the skin and lead to systemic neurological effects, nausea, headache. Sometimes they can become incapacitated in the fields. Up to a quarter, one-fourth of all young farmers are getting some form of nicotine poisoning. And we're talking about 12 to 15-year-old kids, which in countries like Russia and Kazakhstan, they have rules about under 18. If you're under 18, you can't be picking tobacco. And here, in this country, we don't have any such rules. So it's a big oversight. We shouldn't be allowing kids into these tobacco fields. And pickers in general need to have a lot of dermal skin protection and education. That's always a problem with migrant pickers, is that they may not know the language, they may not understand the implications, and then they feel sick, and they don't know why.
Okay, we have about a minute before the break, minute and a half. What's the state of Minnesota doing in terms of testing private wells for?
Yeah, well, I call this one corn versus babies, because one of the major problems with groundwater in agricultural states like Minnesota and Ohio is that all that corn needs a lot of fertilizer. And if you don't carefully titrate the amount of nitrogen going into the soil, there's a fair bit of it that can go into groundwater. And nitrate in groundwater leads to blue baby syndrome. Babies cannot handle nitrate in their drinking water. And there are counties in Minnesota where the levels of exceedance of the nitrate drinking water standard in private wells is pretty high. So Minnesota decided to test 70,000 wells, a huge expense, 70,000 private wells across the entire state to see where the farmers aren't doing the right thing with their nitrate.
That's Dr. Gary Ginsberg. You should check out his website, whatstoxic.com. whatstoxic.com for toxic things and maybe to surprise not toxic things. And, of course, he joins us every week here on the You, the Owner's Manual radio show with this segment every week. 877-711-5211 on the telephone. If you have an email, you want to ask Dr. Mike or Dr. Arthur Perry coming up a question or a comment about today's top stories, you can do that at udocs@gmail.com. That's youdocs@gmail.com. Straight talk from the docs with Dr. Arthur Perry and Dr. Mike right after the break here on You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.